Systematic theology. It's good stuff.
What was the title of that again?
Systematic theology.
Is that anything like calculus? I had a little problem with that.
I think it's worse than calculus.
Oh, I don't know.
The book list, there's 14 required texts for the class, so we'll see.
Boy, retirement is really wonderful.
Yes, it is.
No, it's like Groundhog Day over here.
I'll look forward to it in a good, 45 years. Oh, well, welcome, everyone. I am so glad to see your wonderful smiling faces this morning and that you were able to hop online with us. I am going to start us out with our opening hymn, and then we'll pass it over to Pastor for some announcements, and we'll get grooving into our service. So, good morning. Let's get this Zoom going. Take it away, Pastor.
Good morning, friends. I'm so glad that you're here today, and I'm so thankful for Vicar and her ministry. It's fun to hear you all chatting before we begin this 8 a.m. service. I'm going to start with some announcements now. You know that Friday night, the pandemic for Polk County inched above 36%, just an extraordinary number. And it seems to me that in the last 16 days, it has gone up about 1% a day on average. Last night, it seemed to maybe have dipped below 36%. So it's too early to say that we might have peaked out, but like all of you, I'm hoping that the peak arrives soon and that we start a downward slide very soon. My prayers are that by Ash Wednesday, that's March 2nd this year, that things are going to be much, much better in Polk County. And if you would join me in that prayer, we would be blessed if that were the case. And especially we want to keep in our prayers those frontline workers, doctors, nurses, hospitals that are feeling very stressed in Polk County and in much of the world today. While the percentage is this high, we're taking a few extra precautions. We've moved confirmation online, for example. It seems safer than getting 19 active vocal kids in a small room with four leaders. And we're adding more online services. So we are again simulcasting our Saturday at 5 p.m. service. We are again simulcasting our Sunday at 9 a.m. service. The Zoom service is ongoing. We've made some improvements to those Facebook Live simulcasting. We bought a very long cord so that the mics are plugged in. We think we've made the volume quite a bit better. If you tried Facebook Live and gave up on it as a worship platform, you might check it out again because we think it is some better. One of the important features of being a member of a Lutheran church is that the church is governed by its members. We elect our council. We decide what our mission and ministry for the coming year is. We send delegates to the regional assembly to express our opinion on the synod's ministry. And we do much of that work through an annual meeting, which is happening today at 11:30. It's on Zoom because of the pandemic. And I hope if you're available at 11:30 that you might log in. We expect it to be kind of a short meeting. The balloting is done and the only thing remaining is to announce the results of the ballot. And then we will receive our reports and move on. But even though it's short, I hope you'll log in. We would love to have a quorum for this meeting, for one thing. And you'll want to celebrate with your congregation as we move into a new year. Yesterday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we had a baptism in our church. Ordinarily, we do a baptism in the context of a public worship service because you make promises on behalf of the baptized. Because of this family's needs and the pandemic, the baptism was done more privately. But it was recorded and it's posted on Facebook and you can go and watch it and I hope you will. The baptizee was Kendall Lee. He was joined by his mother and father and big sister and grandma and some friends as sponsors and witnesses to the moment. So please join me in keeping Kendall Lee and her sister Harper and her mom and dad Chris and Lindsay Olson in your prayers this week. Our friends at Macaulay Terrace are hosting a blood drive this week on Thursday. They're going to be collecting blood from 12:30 to 3:30 p.m. If, like me, you try to donate when you can, and maybe it's been a while, this is a great opportunity to sign up and to support that ministry at Macaulay Terrace, where we have a long-standing partnership as a church that provides worship services for them, and many of our members have lived there in the past, and a few of our members live there currently. I want to thank Vicar for leading this service. I want to thank Allison Pleasant and her mother, Michelle Kane, for providing the music. I assume that was Elaine Dunn on the piano accompanying them. What a great way to start this worship service. I think I'm going to pass everything back to Vicar for a time, but I will join you again for the gospel and the sermon.
Wonderful. Thank you. Let us continue with confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, in whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of the Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for our sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As called by the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entirety of your sins forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. Let us pray. Lord God, you have caused the Holy Scripture to be written for the nourishment of your people. Grant that we may hear them, read them, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that comforted by your promises, we may embrace and forever hold fast to the hope of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Today's lessons begin with a reading from the book of Nehemiah. All the people of Israel gathered together in the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which had been given to Israel. According to the priest, Ezra brought the law before the assembly. Both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Israel opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. God and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. Then Ezra blessed. Bless the Lord. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people and said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the word of the Lord. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom have nothing. And for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from the book of 1 Corinthians. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though there be many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot could say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each of them, as he chose. If all were single members, where could the body be? There is many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this, but God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church the first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Vicar. Our gospel lesson for today is from the Gospel according to St. John, and it begins in the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. This is the reason Jesus came into the world, because of God's great love. This is the reason for everything Jesus said, everything Jesus taught, everything Jesus did. It's about God's great love for the world. This is the reason for the cross, for Good Friday and Easter Sunday. It was about God's great love for the world. And while this question might at first seem to be a little too simple, let me just say that we spend a lot of time wondering who it is God loves. And here, the narrator, John, the gospel writer, says the world. In Greek, the word is cosmos. And it means a lot of things, but mostly it means everything. Everything and everyone that God created. And it seems to me that Satan has caused no end of trouble on this question, no end of mischief for people of faith who, for the last thousands of years, have argued that God only loves some. And curiously, the some that God supposedly loves always looks like the speaker. It's not just true of Christians, though it is certainly true of Christians. I suspect that Jews and Muslims, I know that Lutherans have done it, I know that Catholics have probably done it, Baptists as well. We want to say with John 3:16, God loves everything and everyone that God has created. And it's even bigger than that. God loves everyone, everything, especially those who have rejected God, which in Paul's opinion was once again conveniently everyone, as in all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you don't have to resort to Paul to get to that point. In John chapter 1 verses 10 and 11, John says, he, Jesus, was in the world and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. That's the world that God loves. That's the everyone that God loves. Listen to John the Baptist pointing at Jesus, who says, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The world is everyone, with emphasis on the every one of us who have rejected God, the sinful world, humanity. And we wonder sometimes, who is it that knows about God's love? John says, everyone who believes in the God made known in Jesus Christ. And then he asks that uncomfortable question. What if someone doesn't believe? I mean, what about them? Are they condemned? The answer is they're condemned already. Now, we should think about this condemnation. We should think about this belief. Let's start with the belief and what it is exactly we're believing in. If you asked any Christian, even a nominal Christian, even a Christian who only comes to church, you know, Christmas and Easter, even a person who maybe was born a Christian but isn't sure what they are now, if you asked almost anyone, how is it that the God of Jesus Christ saves people? Pretty quickly, it would boil down to a single word: forgiveness. So if you believe in it, that is God's forgiveness, you can rejoice and live as a person set free. And if you don't believe in forgiveness, well, then you're stuck. Then you're in bondage to sin. And it seems to me in the year 2022, even though not everyone is sure they believe in God, it seems to me that everyone agrees about sin, that it exists in the world, that it messes things up. This week I heard a famous producer being interviewed on public radio by Terry Gross, and it was a delightful interview because this producer had done a lot of the television, a lot of the movies you and I have watched over the last 3, 4, 5 decades of our life. And in the interview, he confessed that he didn't believe in God. He didn't believe there was anything after this life. He thought, you know, life just ended. And then in his next breath, he confessed how lonely he was, how lonely the world is. He confessed his belief that we are all and eternally alone. A couple days later, I was watching one of my favorite actors, who's also a producer and a comedian and a famous atheist in the world, and he will argue his atheistic beliefs like crazy. And he will admit that the world is an incredibly cruel place, that people can be so mean to one another. I have a dear friend who I love, who is a committed atheist. And if you went out for coffee with him, you'd probably love him too. He's a great person. And if you talked to him for, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes, you would hear from him that nothing much matters and that the world is doomed. Now listen, if you believe we're all alone, if you believe we're doomed, if you believe the world is cruel and meaningless, if you believe that collection of things, well, then you're condemned already. You're living a life of condemnation. And we want to say, in contradiction to that, for God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son so that anyone who believes in him may not, shall not perish, but may have eternal life. It's been called, that verse has been called the gospel in miniature. And I agree. It announces the good news about forgiveness, and it's a call to you and me to share that good news, lest anyone be left feeling condemned already. I mean, we have to constantly remember that God loves the world, and therefore we must too. This is our work. This is our sacred duty, to announce God's love and forgiveness. And how are we going to do that? You know, so far in John's gospel, and in just 2.5 chapters, Jesus' constant invitation has been, come and see. As though this love, as though this forgiveness, as though the community it creates is something that just has to be experienced. And I'm sitting here at church, and I can't help but think, this is a church that you have built. You have called for yourselves a pastor. You have hired a staff. They are an incredibly talented group of people. Their job regularly, their job is to announce forgiveness over and over again. And they do it. Your pastor and your staff are doing it, not only speaking on behalf of God, but they're also speaking on your behalf. And I told you during the announcements that I am praying for March 2nd, that the pandemic peaks in January and takes a nosedive in February, and that on March 2nd, which is Ash Wednesday, I hope the church is as full as it can be in the midst of a pandemic, so that we would gather not only to hear this good news, but to start announcing this good news. When we emerge from this present surge, from the depths of this pandemic, we need to gather again. We need to get ourselves back here, in person, online. A person can't really say, I believe in God, I love God, but I'm too busy to worship. I'm too busy to hear about God's love and forgiveness. I'm too busy to get my marching instructions for the coming week, month, year of my life. And we need not only to get ourselves back here, we really need to be inviting our friends, our neighbors, our children back here. Likewise, we can't say we love somebody and then withhold from them the best news we possibly know, the kind of news that might cause them to rejoice or might cause them to feel set free. And we cannot share God's forgiveness if we won't share our own forgiveness. And you know, this is a hard issue for lots of us. It's a hard issue for me too. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And honestly, I think when the community gathers, probably half of us should be silent for that petition. It doesn't make any sense to lie to God, who knows our heart. And surely it would be better to stand mute than to say that lie. Best of all would be we have to start forgiving each other. We have to forgive people for the hurts they have caused, that we are convinced of, and the hurts that we suspect. We can't announce God's love until we announce our own. And then there are our deeds. And in this regard, I honestly think I've never met a community that's done it any better than St. James has. We feed the hungry regularly in Central Iowa Shelter Services. And we never ask somebody when we're handing them a plate of food, we never ask them about their forgiveness, about their repentance, about their past sins. By passing the plate, we announce forgiveness. We regularly help the homeless, both locally, nationally, and around the world, because by helping them, we are announcing your sins are forgiven. It doesn't matter how you got here. We welcome the stranger with no questions asked, because it announces God's love and forgiveness. John 3:16 has been called the gospel in a single verse, and it has a corollary that's maybe unwritten, but should be well known by us. For God so loved the world that God created you. For God so loved the world that God called you. For God so loved the world that God sent you to tell the world about God's gifts of love and forgiveness, the gift of Jesus Christ. May our lives be the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we announce God's love and forgiveness by sharing our own love and forgiveness. Thanks be to God, and amen.
this continue with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance so that we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. God, you reveal yourself to us in the reading of Scripture. Fulfill your word through the faithful witness of your church. Send us out to bring your liberating good news to all people. God of grace, hear our prayer. All creation proclaims your handiwork. Teach us to love the intricate and beautiful bodies that you have created. Bless tiny insects, enormous whales, and every creature in between. Sustain species at risk of extinction. God of grace, hear our prayer. God, you desire that there be no dissension among us. Where we have divided in society, nation, or world, come quickly to reunite us into one body. Ease conflict, dispel violence, and bring an end to war. God of grace, hear our prayer. God, anointed with your Spirit, all who seek your favor. Grant provision and justice for people living in poverty, people living with disabilities, people living with pain, or those living under oppression. God of grace, hear our prayer. Build up the body of Christ in this place, God. Bless the variety of ministries in this congregation. Empower us to freely welcome and deeply value each person who enters into worship and ministry among us. God of grace, hear our prayer. In thanksgiving, we lift before you the saints for whom the promise of salvation has now been fulfilled. Tend to those who mourn. Bring us together in your everlasting glory. God of grace, hear our prayer. God, since we have such great hope in your promises, we lift these and all of our prayers to you in confidence and faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And also with you. Feel free to unmute and share a sign of peace with one another.
Peace, everyone.
Peace be with you.
Peace, everyone.
God's peace, everybody.
Peace, everyone. Peace be with you.
Peace.
Peace.
God's peace. Good to see you.
Good to see everybody.
Oh. God's peace. That is one benefit to being on Zoom, is you still get to share the peace, which is awesome. I love it. I love how we get to do that. We are going to continue with the Thanksgiving for the Word. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our ways through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end, bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from a time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now receive a blessing. God, who leads you in pathways of righteousness, who rejoices over you and who calls you by name, bless your goings in and your coming out today and forever. Amen. Go with Christ into a weary world to share the good news. Thanks be to God. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Stay warm and well.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you.
Peace, my friends.
Have a great week, everyone.
Yeah. She's standing out in the snow. Yeah. It's Peggy.
I noticed that too.
I'm not standing in the snow. It's just a picture of the snow.
What is cold?
Makes me cold just looking at it. Oh, God's peace, friends.